the book of Luke, chapter number 23. We want to take for a text tonight. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Brother Shoecraft's talking about the Lord's coming. Some does get nervous, but it makes me get excited. Amen. It isn't going to be long. And I'd like to just be faithful and do everything I could between now and that time. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter number 23 tonight. Verse number 32. We'll begin reading. Luke chapter 23, verse number 32. The Bible says, And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 39 of the same chapter. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Let's just ask the Lord to help us tonight. Precious God of heaven, we need you to anoint us and help us, Lord, as we, God, endeavor to preach this message you've laid on our heart. We need your help. We can do nothing without you. God, I feel your presence is in this building. And I pray just give us that divine direction. Let us be led by the Holy Ghost, as we preach tonight, meet with us, Lord, these altars in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help us, about these two thieves that was on the cross with Jesus. Often you'll see a picture that depicts Christ on the center cross, and then on his right hand and on his left, two other men that were being crucified on that hill. And we know that the man in the middle cross is the man who died for our sins. Can you say amen? But I want to preach tonight on it could get better or it could get worse. It could get better or it could get worse. When I begin to study and look into these two men that was crucified along with Jesus on Calvary, begin to try to study some about their lives. Very little is known about them other than what you can glean from the Scriptures. They were both thieves. They were both guilty of crimes that they had done. And I begin in my mind to back up maybe to when they were young men and just growing up and probably just as innocent as any child that's ever been born. And I don't know how their maturity came, the type of people they were around, the type of situations they were around. But it seems like that there is a big difference between these two men when they reach this place of Calvary. It seems like one has a spirit that he is repentant. He is full of repentance and sorrow. But yet the other seems to be very indignant, very angry, and very vile. And I can see as one of these men is growing up and no doubt careless about his ways, doesn't regard law, doesn't regard magistrate, doesn't regard authority. Maybe he's the one that has no respect for his mother or his father, the one that's always being reprimanded in school, that's always in the principal's office. Come on, say amen. Always in trouble. But yet it seems like the more that the authority comes down on him, and the more that they try to correct him, it seems like that the more rebellious that he gets. Before long, he's joined up with maybe a group of young hoodlums and thieves, and they're burglarizing and stealing and involved in murders and other things. And finally, he's apprehended. I can see as he fights against and flees maybe and fights against the restrainers. He's difficult to keep under control. When they bring him before the judge, he's full of cursing and full of violence. But I see this other man, and I'm preaching on it could get better or it could get worse. Both these men are going to be in the same condemnation. But I can see the other as maybe he is also growing up, and he always has good intentions. He always intends on not getting in trouble. He's always the one that is apologizing. He's always sorry that he done what he done. And maybe many times with tears he would tell his mother, "Mom, I promise I won't be caught up in that anymore. I won't go with that group of boys anymore. I won't get involved in this trouble anymore." But it seemed like that good intentions did not help him live a life that was pleasing unto God. And so as he began to grow up, and there begin to be problems, and sin has a way of driving people. Not everybody that's in even the prisons and the jails tonight is vile men and men that's full of wickedness. Many of them are just bound by sin. When they're sober, they're actually pretty good folks. But many of them got alcohol in their system, got in a fight, got in a bad situation, committed a sin, a felony, a murder, a thieving episode, and they're in jail saying, "I regret it. I'm sorry I ever done it. I wished I could go back and change the past." And I feel like that's kind of the way this second young man may have looked at his situation. When they brought him before the court that day and the judge begins to look at them, this one, it is so full of rebellion. Amen. He begins to spew out his words, and as the judge begins to come down with a sentence that he should be crucified, amen, he begins to maybe fill the air with cursing, has to be restrained, and they pull him out of the courtroom. He has no respect for the judge or for the soldiers. But I can see this other man that's full of repentance as he comes up to stand before the judge. And maybe the judge, when he comes down and gives him the sentence to be crucified, tears might fill his eyes. And he would begin to plead and beg. Maybe he would say, "Please, judge, if you'll give me one more opportunity, one more chance, I promise, judge, I won't go the way that I've been going." He might have even warned his children, "Don't follow the path of your dad." He might have tried to console his wife if he had one. "Hey, man, I'm sorry, sweetheart, for all the things I've done." But you see, sin has a way of driving. Amen. And it drove these men to their destiny. And so now we see them as it's coming. Time to be crucified. Amen. It looks pretty bad. I mean, it looks like it's went from bad to worse. It's went from imprisonment, amen, to being condemned to death. And now they're being led out to Calvary or Golgotha, the place of the skull. Amen. Now they're being stretched out on the ground. And they are beginning to be, the process of crucifixion is beginning to take place. And it looks like it's getting worse and getting worse. Amen. Maybe when they come to that one and begin to take him and put him on that cross, several men have to wrestle him down. He's trying to bite them and claw at them and spit on them. But somehow they secure him and they lift him up into the air. Then there's this man that's begging those officers, "Please, please, I didn't mean to do what I've done. Please, somebody give me one more chance. Please, I didn't mean to go the way of sin and destruction. Amen. But amidst all of his crying and pleading, they lay him down. They shall tie him and nail him to his cross. And they lift him up into the air. And then there's that man on the middle cross. Hey, on one side you've got rebellion. On one side you've got repentance. But on that middle cross you've got redemption. And I can see as Jesus came, the Bible said no man took his life from him, but he laid it down. Here is a man that cast out legions of demons. He could have filled the heavens up, amen, with the powers of heaven. But oh, the Bible said willingly, he walked up to that cross, and I can almost see in my mind as he would turn and begin to lay down and begin to stretch his arms out. And as they would begin to come, how many soldiers will it take to hold him down? It may have took 8 or 9 to hold this one full of rebellion down. It may have took 7 or 8 to hold that one that was pleading with repentance to get up before they could get him secure. Amen. How many would it take? I believe if there had only been one soldier that day, amen, that he could have took Jesus and nailed him to the cross. Jesus had already looked into that bitter cup. He had already seen what lie before him. And he'd already said, I'm going to be willing, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I can see him as he just laid his hand out and maybe looked up at that soldier as he began to drive that cruel rivet. Amen. And maybe as he drove it down into his arm, Jesus would look up at him and say, I love you. Amen. I love you. I tell you, it takes something, amen, to be the Savior of the world, to lay down your life, to cry, forgive them when they spat in your face, when they smote you with the palms of their hands. But he was on a mission to save mankind, to save me and to save you tonight. I'll tell you, if you're not saved in this service, the reason Jesus died was not his inability. He could have saved himself. One man said he saved others, but himself he cannot save. But what they didn't realize is he was willing to die that he might save others. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to be beaten. He was willing to be crucified that he might be our Savior tonight. Amen. They take Jesus and put him on that cross and they lift him up in the air. And there those three crosses stand on the hill. Amen. Our text picks up the conversation and the art of crucifixion that the Romans used. They had it to a perfection of being as cruel as they could without actually making that body collapse in death. They wanted it to be tortured as long as possible. And when they crucified them, they would bend their legs just a little bit. And as they hung there, they'd be unable to breathe. They could not get air into their lungs. And so in order to catch their breath, they would have to push their legs against those nails that was in their feet and ankle bones, push themselves up and get a gasp of air and then let themselves back down. You wonder why all the sayings on the cross is short. Amen. Oh, it was just a little air that the Lord was able to put out in those little phrases. Amen. Well, all of a sudden, maybe that man that's full of rebellion arches his legs upward. Air fills his lungs and all of a sudden sudden cursing fields of heaven. Do you know there's some people, amen, that is sent to go to hell? Amen. They curse God. Amen. Oh, they curse the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And here's some folks that's so rebellious. And so he pushes against those cruel remnants and lets out a stream of filth. But over on the other side, maybe we'd see that other thief as he'd begin to arch his legs upward. And as that air came back into his lungs, amen, please somebody help me. Please somebody get me off this cross. I didn't mean to do the things that I've done. Amen, I remember preaching several years ago at the county jail in Prattville, where I'm from. And we went in that night. We only had about five or six that showed up for that jail service. And we had two wards that we had service in. Well, that night I was the only preacher that showed up. Had several of my lay members came. So I told them, I said, well, let's split it up tonight. We usually have two teams. I said, y'all go on that side and sing while I go on this side and preach. And then when I get through preaching and y'all get through singing, we'll swap. Y'all come over here and sing, and I'll go over there and preach. And so we did. I went over and preached. They went over and sang. We got through, and a lot of times when I do that, I'll have maybe one fault and preach it a couple times. But walking from one side of the jail to the other, amen, I felt God come down in my heart. Amen, speak to me. Amen, about trying to hide from the Lord. Amen, well, they came out, and we passed each other. I went in. And when I went in, they said, preacher's here. Amen. Walked in and looked. And there stood my cousin, one of my cousins. Oh, and his daddy was a preacher. And I looked at him. I said, what are you doing here? He had such a look of surprise. He said, I thought y'all was gone. He said, I laid over here in the corner with a blanket covering my head for the last 35 or 40 minutes. Hey man, didn't want anybody to see me. I thought y'all were gone. And I said, you can't hide from the Lord. And that's what I come to tell you tonight. Hey man, I preached that night. He prayed, wept, and cried. Hey man, come on here now. I tell you, your intentions makes a big difference whether you end up in heaven or whether you end up in hell. Amen. If you're full of filth, amen, wilderness, rebellion, and don't want to have anything to do with God, amen, He may give you over to that life. But when down in the depths of your soul, you'll say, God, I really don't want to live the life I'm living. I really don't want to go to hell. I really don't want to die lost. That was something that was about to happen to these two men. Amen. Both of them was about to die. Both of them was about to breathe their last breath in just a few short hours. Amen. But the difference is, for one, it was going to get better. But for one, it was going to get worse. For one would wake up, amen, in paradise. But the other would wake up in the eternal flames of hell. Amen. One, amen, looked over and began to rail upon the Lord. Amen. If you be the Christ, save yourself. Amen. And us. Amen. But the other responding. Amen. Rebuking the first. And I know the Bible said in the beginning they both railed upon him. But oh, he looked at him. And he rebuked him. And he said, we are here because of deeds we have done. We're here justly for our sins. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in a little bit Jesus stirred. And he raised up. And the air coursed into his lungs. Maybe his head looked over toward that repentant sinner. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm preaching on it could get better. Amen. Or it could
Amen, get worse. The hours would roll by. It would come time, amen, that they would need to hasten to death. All these men, they came to, amen, Jesus, we know it already, cried, "It is finished," and already gave up the ghost. But they came to that thief that was so full of rebellion, and the Bible said they would break their legs. That way they could not push up any longer, and they would suffocate, and they would die there. And so when they went to break the legs of that man of rebellion, he might have let out one last curse word. Amen. He might have let out one last stream of profanity. And when they come to break the legs of that man that was repentant, he might have been saying, "Glory to God. Amen. I've been redeemed. I've been saved." But when they broke their legs, amen, and they went into eternity, there was one of them that the situation got a whole lot better. Amen. I mean, they went from hanging on a cross to walking down streets of gold. They went from suffering, amen, to a place where God Himself will take a handkerchief and wipe away every tear from our eyes. Amen. He went from a life full of trouble to a place where there is no trouble. But for the other one, it got a whole lot worse. He woke up in that terrible abyss called hell. He woke up in a place where there's never anything but suffering. Amen. Where there's nothing but wailing and crying out. Amen. Tormented in the flames of hell forever. For one, it got better. But for the other, it got worse. Can I tell you here tonight, everybody in this building, amen, tomorrow will be a different day. Amen. Next year will be a different year. If the world stands, you're not going to stay right where you're at. The things in your life will either get better or they'll either get worse. Amen. Come on, help me a little while. I mean, financially, you're either going to do better or you're going to do worse. Physically, you're either going to do better or you're going to do worse. Amen. But can I tell you, when it comes to eternity, amen, it comes to leaving this earth, we need to make our mind up tonight. Amen. God, I want to sell out to You. I want to give it all to You. I don't want it to get worse than it is now. Well, man said it can't get any worse. Amen. It can get a lot worse. It can get a lot worse. Amen. But it can also get a lot better. A few years ago, there was a brother there in the church when I was pastoring in Alabama. Randy Pruitt was his name. Randy had a brother by the name of Daniel. Daniel was raised in church. His mother came in and prayed when he was a small boy, his family. He was raised in church. He had prayed in the altar. His mom, his dad had died, and his mother died with cancer. He was probably in his 10 years. So his older brother, Randy, which is a preacher out of the church there at Summit, took him in and finished raising him the last few years of his life. After he got out of the home, he joined the Navy. He went overseas, and he went away from all the teachings that God had put in his heart. And it looked like that he just forgot all about God. And all of a sudden, he got sick. He came down. He had a brain tumor. They gave him a medical discharge from the Navy. When he got back to Montgomery, he joined they call it AUM. It's Auburn University of Montgomery, an off branch of Auburn University. He went to that campus and began attending college classes, and he had already took treatments, and they gave him a fairly good report. But when he got in there, things got worse for him. He already had physical problems, but he started having spiritual problems.
He got in there and started association with that New Age movement and with all those that's involved in that type of liberal thinking, they call it. And he actually joined an atheist and agnostic society. His brother would try to talk to him. He'd get upset and he'd say, "I don't want to talk about the Lord." He said, "I don't even know if there is a God. And if there is a God, I don't believe anybody knows who he is." And I mean, he was just taken in by that agnostic philosophy. Amen. Well, time went on and his brother would try to talk to him. He'd get very upset, didn't want to talk about the church or hear about the Lord. But I tell you, God has a way of getting your attention. God has a way of stopping you. Amen. All the reports seem to be doing good, but then all of a sudden that cancer returned. They went back in and done surgery, but this time the diagnosis after the surgery was a lot different. The doctors told them, said we weren't able to get it all, and said there's nothing else we can do. Radiation's not going to help you, and said we're only going to give you a few months to live. It was a bad diagnosis. So his brother Randy called me, and he told me what had happened. He was still up at the hospital in Birmingham, Alabama, about an hour, a little over an hour from where we were at. And he said, "I'm going up there tonight." And so I told him I'd go with him. So we went up there. And as we walked in the hospital room, he'd already lost his peripheral vision on this side of his head. Couldn't see anything. He had his face turned toward the window. We walked in. His brother walked around where he could see him. And he began to talk to him. "Hey, little brother." And he turned around and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I was just laying here praying." And he said, "I prayed." And he said, "Lord, if there is a God, would you send my brother and send Brother Steve up here tonight to talk to me?" Amen, Brother Randy. He didn't know I was in the room. And Brother Randy said, "Well, look, come brought with me." And I stepped up there where he could see me. He just started weeping and crying. Amen. We began talking with him and praying with him. And wouldn't you know it? Amen. Here comes a knock at the door. And in come two atheists. Two of his friends drove all the way from Montgomery. Amen. They came in and greeted him. We'd been talking to him some. So finally, after about 2 minutes, I just interrupted them. And I said, "Danny's wanting to pray and get saved." I said, "You're welcome to stay in the room, but we want to talk to him, and he wants to pray." They kind of looked at him, and he shook his head, and he said, "Y'all want to pray." And so they got out the room. Amen. We start praying with him. There'd be another knock at the door. Amen. I'd go to the door. I'd tell him, we're praying right now. There'd be some more friends. We kept praying. It was quite some time, maybe an hour, hour and a half. The devil was battling his mind, telling him he'd waited too late, telling him he was only praying because of the trouble. I mean, he was really fighting every imp in hell. But finally, after about an hour and a half, amen, faith pressed all the way through. Amen. And he began to raise his hands. And he said, "He just saved me. Praise God." I mean, we had church. Amen. And we got through, opened the door. It was probably, amen, 10 or 12 atheists that had to stand out in the hall while we prayed him through to salvation. Praise God. Amen. Well, Danny got saved. And it looked like that physically things got worse. He got weaker. He got to where he had to be transported in a wheelchair. Finally, he got to where he was bedridden within a few months. But oh, why it looked worse physically, it looked a whole lot better spiritually. For he was about to trade, amen, that sick body in for a brand new body. Amen. Amen. Well, he came to church. And when he was able, the first couple of months, they brought him in a wheelchair every Sunday morning. And several times there would be two or three pews full of people that was his friends from that college. And many times there'd be 8 or 10, sometimes 15 atheists in the house. I mean, I've always
I've been raised in church, and I guess up to that point, one of my maybe weaker areas of study was the deity of God, the deity of Christ. I just always accepted it, knew it was so, knew there was a God, knew there was a hell, never even thought I had to prove it to nobody. Amen. But oh, I got to looking out there and realize I had my work. I said I never preached so much on the deity of God in all my life. I studied, I read everything I could get. Amen. I preached to them. Amen. We had a time. Well, a few months rolled by. I mean, he had a good experience. Him friends, they'd bring him them old dirty magazines he used to look at, and he'd tell them, no, thank you. Amen. I've been saved. I'm not the man that I used to be. Amen. Come on here now. I'm talking about it could get better. Or it could get worse. I mean, if Danny would have died before that tumor developed in his head, he would have went to hell. But because of this tragedy, because of this sickness, it turned him to God. It turned out to be a blessing. Amen. Oh, you may think what you're facing right now. Amen. It's been a bad, traumatic experience from the devil. But it could be God Almighty a ringing your bell, saying it's time to serve me, to live for me, to walk the way I'd have you to walk.
That evening, hey man, they called that man around. Actually, I called him around. Came up behind my pulpit in my church, and he started spewing out his poison. All those young people, all those people standing in the church. He started saying, now Danny was not bound by religion. Said he didn't condemn people for alternative lifestyles. And I mean, he just went on and on. I was getting madder and madder. I never had just called somebody down at a funeral. I didn't know what to do. But I took my notes out and I just crumbled them up. Stuck them in my pocket. Amen. I didn't throw them, but I stuck them in my pocket. Amen. Amen. And so, he got through and I went up. I said, I had some things I was going to preach, but I feel like going a little different way. Praise God. Amen. I started preaching about the deity of God. Amen. I started preaching. I said, you know, Professor, and I named his name. I said, he made mention about Danny and what he believed. I said, and I quoted a few things he had said. And I said, everything he said was true. Danny believed that. I said, but laying there on his deathbed with his brother, my witness, and others around, he told me, he said, Brother Steve, at my funeral, tell him I was wrong. Amen. So I said, I'm telling you, he was wrong. Amen. I started preaching. Amen. I mean, I had some of them that claimed to be atheists write me letters wanting to know about God. Meet me in my office wanting to talk about God. Amen. Old professor wouldn't even shake my hand at the graveside. Amen. But the atheists did. They weren't atheists. They were just caught up in that trap. They were really repentant in their heart. I'll tell you, for Danny, it didn't get worse. It got better. Tonight he's got a new body. Tonight he's redeemed. Tonight he's in heaven. And for you, it can get better. It don't have to get worse. Amen. I need to hurry. Oh, but listen. I wish every story ended just like that one. But how many do we know, and I won't even go into them, but how many do we know that stood there, that sat there, that heard the preaching, that wept, and they left. Their situation was bad, but it got far worse. One little bobble of a wheel, amen, one little, amen, time that the heart fails to beat, near in eternity, in a far worse shape than they ever was before. Hey, man, we want to give you a chance to pray tonight. I want to ask you,
Amen. Is it going to get better for you? Or is it going to get worse? Amen. These two men, their life comes to an end. They take their bodies off the cross. That empty corpse, the soul is returned to Him who gave it. They take them, no doubt, lay them out somewhere in a tomb or in a grave. But their soul's living on in eternity. One day they're going to do every one of us that way. One day it'll be our empty shell. Somewhere in eternity. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, either in heaven, or either like the rich man, the Bible said, and he died and he lifted up his eyes in hell. It could get better, or it could get worse tonight. Would you stand to your feet? And I want to give you a chance to pray tonight. Amen. Maybe they'll get us a song. Sarah, if you'll come. I want to ask you tonight, how is it with your soul? Are you ready to meet God tonight? If you're not, amen, we want to give you a chance to come tonight, kneel at this altar, and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Amen. As she begins to play, amen, every head bowed. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, right now I'm asking you to let conviction touch these hearts and souls. Deal with them in Jesus' name. Here's the one right now. You just slip your hand up and say, Preacher, I'm not saved tonight. I'm not where I need to be with God. Amen. Remember me. Just slip your hand up. Right back down. I need God to be the Lord of my life. Not where I need to be with God. Slipped away. I need God to put a fire back in my soul. Anywhere in the house, we want you to come. Amen. Oh, it could get better. It could get worse. It's left up to us tonight which way we're going to choose. Amen. Will you come? Church, are you helping me pray tonight? Will you come right now? While the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with your heart, would you come? Say, I want Jesus to save my soul. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Amen. It doesn't have to end in sorrow and in tears. It can end in joy, knowing that Jesus is your Savior. Knowing that you're right in the center of God's will. Doing what God has for your life. The altar is open for you. Would you come?